Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Members of the Churches of Christ have been accused of believing the church saves. Do we really believe that? I have been a member of the Church of Christ for more than 55 years and have never heard a member argue that the church saves. What I do believe, and what the Bible teaches, is when men are saved through Jesus Christ, they are added to His church. There are no saved outside the church. The church was established on the day of Pentecost. Then they who gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they praised God and found favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Acts 2:41-47. Unless God overlooks some people, all the saved are in the church of the living God. The Apostle Paul affirmed that all spiritual blessings are in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. That means, if I understand simple language, that there are no spiritual blessings outside Christ, outside the body of Christ. How could anyone ignore what God has done for us through Christ and still be saved? Christ shed His blood to purchase the church, Acts 20:28. Paul said Christ gave Himself up for the church, Ephesians 5:25. When one thinks seriously about the importance of the church to God, how could he possibly believe men and women can be saved outside God's family, which is the church of the living God? 1 Timothy 3:15. We know from reading the Ephesian letter and other biblical passages that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. We know from reading Ephesians 1 what those spiritual blessings are. Being elected or chosen through Christ is unquestionably a spiritual blessing. We are chosen or elected in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Being adopted into God's family is also a spiritual blessing. Our adoption is by or through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:5. Ephesians 1:6 teaches that we are accepted or begraced in Christ, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1:5-6. Our salvation redounds to the praise of the glory of His grace. Throughout eternity, we shall sing praises to God for His marvelous grace. The expression, "has made us accepted in the Beloved," could be rendered, according to F.F. Bruce, "He has begraced us in His Beloved." We do not commonly use the word begraced, but it makes this passage very meaningful. The Revised Standard Version translates that passage, "He freely bestowed in His Beloved." My friends, that which God has done for our salvation, He has done in the Beloved, that is, in Christ. When we reject Christ, refuse His gracious offer of salvation, and spurn membership in His church, there is absolutely no hope for us. I am fully aware that this approach may be considered by modernistic theologians as narrow, intolerant, and bigoted. But is it an intolerant approach? Does the Bible actually teach that men must accept Christ and His gospel in order to be saved? Does one really have to be in the body of Christ to go to heaven? Will you please think with me for just a moment on some scriptural passages? Our Lord told the Jews, "I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." John 8:24. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. John records that many of Christ's disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Jesus asked the 12, "Will you also go away?" Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." John 6:66-69. When Peter and John were brought to trial before the Jewish Sanhedrin, Peter accused the Jewish rulers of rejecting the chief cornerstone and then added, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 4:12. Does Peter mean that we have to believe in Christ, that we have to be in Christ, that we must be in the church to be saved? How could anyone dispute that fact in view of the passages I have read to you? Another of the spiritual blessings which is in Christ Jesus is redemption. Paul wrote, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Ephesians 1:7. Paul says redemption is in Christ, in His body, the church. The word redemption, apolutrosin, in the Greek, means to release by payment of a ransom. What needed releasing? Our souls were in bondage to Satan. What was the ransom which was paid for the release of our souls? The Apostle Peter used the verb form of the same Greek word when he declared, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver and gold, from your vain conversation or manner of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Paul instructed the Corinthian Christians that God expected them to take care of their bodies, because you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. The word "bought" in this passage is not the same Greek word translated "redeem," but it has about the same connotation. It means we were in the spiritual market, figuratively speaking, and Jesus Christ purchased us with His blood. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Romans 5:8 and 9. After hearing these scriptures dealing with redemption, do you think redemption is a spiritual blessing? Surely no one would dispute that truth. If redemption is a spiritual blessing, which Paul clearly teaches, where is it to be found? It is in Christ, in His church, and nowhere else. Can one be saved without being redeemed, without the blood of Christ? Of course not. The redeemed are in the church. There is none outside. Did not Paul emphatically teach that Christ shed His blood to purchase the church? "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock," Paul commanded the Ephesian elders, "over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." Acts 20:28. Do you honestly believe you can be saved without being in that institution for which Jesus gave every drop of His blood? Of course, liberal theologians, radical feminists, and others deny the necessity or the propriety of Christ shedding His blood for our redemption. Leslie Weatherhead's book, The Christian Agnostic, comes very close to making fun of the New Testament's teaching on redemption and atonement. He shows his disrespect for the Scriptures and for the Christ who died for us when he wrote, "Frankly, it is nonsense to say, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins." Page 114. The scripture Dr. Weatherhead called nonsense is Hebrews 9:23. Weatherhead asserts that we are not bound by the atonement theories which Paul and John the Baptist believed and taught. Pages 116 and 117. Weatherhead asks, Can there be a more revolting idea than these words from William Cowper? There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. I do not know about you, but I have always taken great comfort and hope in these beautiful words written by William Cowper. Are we to conclude from this modernistic theologian that our hope in Christ is really in vain? My friends, you and I have no reason to be discouraged. Our Lord did die on the cross and did shed His blood for the remission of our sins. Matthew 26:28. What Leslie Weatherhead has done is to prove that he does not have the slightest idea of the real nature of New Testament Christianity. Paul affirmed, "In Christ we have redemption through His blood." Ephesians 1:7. Did you notice in my reading of Ephesians 1:7 how Paul attached forgiveness of sins to redemption in Christ? In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. The sins which you and I have committed can be forgiven in Christ and only in Christ. I can forgive you when you sin against me. You can forgive me when I sin against you. But God, through Christ, forgives all sins. Would to God that every man, woman, and child knew the peace of being forgiven by their Creator. They can know if they will turn to Jesus Christ and obey His gospel. The Greek word translated forgiveness comes from two other Greek words which mean to send away or to send from. When we obey our Lord and come in contact with the blood of Christ, our sins are sent away. They are forgotten. Our fellow man may not forgive even when we repent and seek forgiveness, but God always forgives when we seek in the right way, that is, according to the divine plan. Peter said to the Jews on Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:38. Incidentally, the word remission in Acts 2:38 is the same word rendered forgiveness in Ephesians 1:7. Please listen again to the Apostle Peter. "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Acts 3:19. The Greeks had two words which refer to the canceling of a debt or a bond. Forgiveness of sins is God's canceling a debt or a bond. One of the Greek words, kiazein, literally means to put an X over it. We understand that kind of language. Before the invention of the correcting typewriters, when we made a mistake on our old manual typewriters, we simply backed the carriage up to the mistake we had made and put an X over it. But when you placed an X over your mistake, you could still see the mistake. The mistake was canceled, but we were constantly reminded of the mistake every time we examined what we had written. That word is never used in the Greek New Testament. The second word, which referred to the canceling of a bond or a debt, is exhalepho, which means to wipe away, to wash out. On modern typewriters and on computers, mistakes can be corrected, and no one can determine that they were ever made. They are simply wiped away. That, dear friends, is what occurs when you obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me read again Acts 3:19. "Repent and be converted," literally repent and turn, "that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." The Greek word rendered blotted out means that sin will never more be remembered by the God of heaven. It is wiped away forever. Jeremiah predicted the total removal of sins under the new covenant. The Hebrew writer quotes at length from Jeremiah and then concludes, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Hebrews 8:12. Do you want me to explain to you how God wipes away sins never again to be remembered? If I knew, I would certainly tell you, but I do not know. The more I try to forget some event in my life, whether someone sinned against me or my sin against them, the more I remember it. But when God forgives, He forgets. The sins will never be mentioned anymore, not even in eternity. King David expressed that truth in these words: He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103:10-12. How are our alien sins forgiven in Christ? The Scriptures require us to believe in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in Me. John 14:1. The Bible also commands all men everywhere to repent, because we are going to face God in the judgment. Acts 17:30-31. We must confess our faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. Romans 10:9-10. When we have believed in Christ, repented of our sins, and confessed our faith in Christ, we are ready to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, as I have read to you from Acts 2:38. But let us briefly take note of some other biblical passages. Jesus commanded in the Great Commission, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned." Mark 16:16. In the process of obeying the gospel of Christ in baptism, we put on Christ, Galatians 3:26-27, and we are added to the church of the living God, Acts 2:41-47, 1 Corinthians 12:13. As you can readily discern, all of this means that the spiritual blessing of forgiveness of sins is in the body of Christ. Since forgiveness of sins is a spiritual blessing, it is in Christ, in the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. How could any truth be plainer? The word translated sins in Ephesians 1:7 refers to trespasses. The word signifies a false step, a blunder. The word is closely related to the word rendered fall away in Hebrews 6:6. The word furnishes precious little comfort to those who believe a child of God cannot so sin as to be eternally lost. Men and women sin before they become children of God, but their sins are forgiven when they obey the gospel. We also sin after we become Christians. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from our sins. 1 John 1:7. Paul teaches in Ephesians 1:7 that redemption and forgiveness of sins in Christ are according to the riches of His grace. My friends, that expression does not mean that God's grace will save you without any response on your part. God's grace provided the means by which we can appropriate the salvation which is available in Christ. As you know, if you have carefully read the book of Acts, Peter on Pentecost and on Solomon's porch and at the house of Cornelius never hinted that God's grace had provided for salvation without faith and obedience on the part of the hearers. In every one of these cases, and the other examples in the book of Acts, the hearers were required to have faith in God, repent of their sins, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Obviously, you can think about these cases of conversion any way you please, but there is no way under heaven you can find salvation by grace alone in the book of Acts or in any other New Testament book. We know man cannot save himself. Without the grace of God, he is hopelessly and helplessly lost. But God's grace alone will not save anyone. If it will, then it will save everyone on the face of God's earth. Why would I make such a statement? Peter said at the house of Cornelius, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he who fears God and works righteousness is accepted of him." Acts 10, 34 and 35. My friends, if you want to be forgiven and added to the Lord's church, you must believe in Christ. Turn away from evil. Confess our Lord Jesus Christ before men and be buried with him in baptism to rise and walk in a new life. We thank you for listening today, and may God, our Heavenly Father, richly bless you.